This is Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. She's a columnist, commentator, and sought-after guest on talk radio programs around the country. She has a master's degree from Columbia University and an operatic voice that can shatter glass. Here's your host of Spouting Off, Karen Cataline.
Well, welcome to Spouting Off. I am your happy but extremely concerned host, Karen Cataline. I've been doing radio all week, and it's always great to be home to my show to spout off with all of you. If you'd like to call in to the program, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. With all of the things going on, what is a talk show host to do? How do you focus on what is the most important when everything is so important? And many of us saw this coming a long time ago, because when you see the little things heading in the direction of a divorce from the rule of law and people that are elected to uphold that rule of law and are doing the exact opposite, you see signs. Well, a lot of what we're watching today is exactly what many of us were afraid of. And so I thought about it. What can I do to kind of pull a few of these things together? And so here goes. I'm going to give you the answer before I give you the question. Kind of like political jeopardy, if you will. And frankly, we are all in jeopardy. So here's the answer to the question before I ask the question. You ready? The answer is one world socialist communist government. Let me say that again. One world socialist communist government. That's the only way any of these questions make sense. People are asking, why are they trying to dismantle the cops and calling to defund them, which is basically dismantling them, at precisely the same time when cops are needed more than ever to restore law and order? Why are Democrat governors still keeping a jackboot on small businesses and sticking to the narrative of the coronavirus when the charade is up? The charade is over. And Republicans, although certainly not perfect, have an entirely different approach than Democrats, who are marching in lockstep. Do you think all these Democrats just came up with the same idea? Well, we're going to reopen things slowly, but we're going to continue to control restaurants and tell them exactly how many people they can have in their restaurant, and make so many rules and regulations that we were never able to do. And oh my, are we dying to do that? That they still won't be able to operate freely. Because after all, once you grab power, you most certainly do not give it up. And that's, well, it's like a toll road. Have you ever seen when they say they have a toll road and they tell you that it's going to be done in 5 years, right? We're gonna get rid of this toll road because we're just going to pay for it. Toll roads never end. And neither do people who grab for power. Once they grab it, they don't want to let it go. If you're asking, why are they attacking cops and demeaning them because of one seemingly apparent bad cop? Is that really what's going on here? Really? Well, the answer to the question, all roads lead to the answer, which is socialist communist government. So how do you get there from here? Well, you could get down into the weeds and do 3 hours on every one of about 25 issues that are going on right now. And, you know, I think a lot of my friends are trying to limit the amount of television and the amount of news that they watch because it's simply one thing after another. I do want to focus a little bit on these riots. And of course, now we're seeing the next step in the riots. The riots weren't it. The step is now we have a 6-block area called Chaz, in which they simply, the radicals, the Antifa, and don't make no mistake, these are all communists. These are all radical leftist socialist communists. Just like my friend Trevor Loudon says, so what's the difference between socialist and communist? Well, he says about 5 years. So now the next step is literally an insurgence into America. A takeover of land. Did you ever think you'd see that in the United States of America? I'll tell you something even more that we never thought we'd see in America, and that is leftist, radical, secret or not so secret socialists and communist mayors and governors in the state of Washington smiling and claiming not to even know what's happening. Do you believe that? I don't believe that. I really don't. So with the tacit acceptance of people that were elected to uphold the rule of law, they took an oath to uphold the rule of law, they are tacitly accepting a takeover, an insurgence in their very own city, in their very own state. Fascinating, as my delightful engineer Doug pointed out, isn't it interesting that when you take over land and you claim sovereignty over that land, the first thing you do is put up boundaries and get guns? And that's exactly what's happening. And instead of allowing them to see what it's like to run a 6-block area, not give them any food unless they deal, they're being enabled and being helped out by these same socialist politicians so that they won't have to find out. So what do you do when you enable a radical, a criminal, a communist? They make more demands. That's what they do. So I want to go back to the answer to the question. One world socialist communist government. They need these things as excuses. They need a virus as an excuse to neuter the public, to disarm the public, to keep them afraid and stuck in their homes. Suddenly, the fraud of how they handled the coronavirus, which requires that we remind you, that I remind you, as if you didn't already know, that according to the CDC, 0.4% is the mortality rate of the coronavirus, and about half of those were in nursing homes. And Democrats who actually sent people with coronavirus into nursing homes, that story is coming out too. So all of this crisis, all of this insanity was caused by the Democrats, and you watch and see what you'll see. And that is my mistake. My phone is dinging. What you'll see is that after they create all the insanity and the crisis, they're already planning it. They'll blame it all on Trump because they always do. So with the excuse of a virus with a 0.4 mortality rate, If you even accept that as the number, because it was planned and it was inflated, the numbers is what I was really trying to say, then 0.4 mortality rate is not a reason to destroy a country. But it is if you're a communist and a socialist. So let's see, we're going to turn law-abiding citizens into criminals, and we're going to turn criminals into victims. I've been saying that for a long time. And then the fraud of the virus turned into rioting, in which the same people that were telling us, and you know this because it's been said, I wasn't the first, that if you go outside and you're a law-abiding citizen, then you are killing grandma. But if you're rioting in the street and burning and looting, then you're doing the right thing. So we've seen all these things kind of truncated, sped up, so that you can really see the level of hypocrisy. Frankly, we need a brand new word, because hypocrisy really doesn't cut it. The reason why all of this leads to one world socialist communist government is because all these things are excuses. Even the death of George Floyd is an excuse. It's an excuse not only to riot, but to push the agenda of neutering cops. If you're a criminal and you want to rob, rape, steal, loot, burgle, any of those things, what's the first thing you do? Well, you disarm your victim, don't you? You got to do that. Otherwise, you're going to get shot. So anything and everything that law-abiding citizens have to fight back with is being neutered, for the lack of a better word, and being taken away. Just like the constant, relentless plan to disarm law-abiding citizens. Every time a criminal would commit a horrific crime, who did they blame it on, and who did they try to disarm? Well, the victims, of course. That's who they tried to disarm. And with a willing leftist media, they will push any stupid narrative that gets the job done. It could be really depressing. I've had friends call me. That's why I'm a little bit famished. That's Yiddish for tongue-tied here. I've had friends who have called me depressed, really, truly depressed and despondent. And since, I used to be a social worker, and I guess sometimes I have the word social worker painted on my forehead, they call me to talk about what they're so depressed about. So I talk to them, and we have a caller who I'm going to take right after the break, because I think we have a break in just a minute coming up here. And I have a wonderful guest at the bottom of the hour, 12:30. So you're going to want to tune in for that. There are some bright spots, but at this point, we do seem like David versus Goliath. I can tell you that. We are fighting on every front. And the only thing we cannot do is give up and bow down and subjugate ourselves, prostrate ourselves to the forces of evil. And I mean that sincerely. I'm not usually filled with that kind of hyperbole. We have to take a break. When we come back, we'll take Tanya's call. You're listening to Spouting Off, and I'm your host, Karen Cataline. Stay tuned.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Welcome back to Spouting Off. I'm your host, Karen Cataline, and it is a stunning thing that we're watching in this country. And I do believe that all of this is, we're being played. That's what a lot of people are saying. We are definitely being played. The stakes are as high as they've ever been. The left either wins this or they get exposed. They've been getting exposed for the last 3.5 years, ever since Trump set foot in the Oval Office, and even before, they've been showing themselves for who they really are. And it's truly ugly. Trump has a talent for exposing, that's the word I wanted, exposing what is underneath a rock. And there's a lot of ugliness under those rocks. Our friend Tanya is online too. Welcome to Spouting Off, Tanya. Glad you could call in.
Oh, thank you, Karen. It's really great to talk to you. I love listening to you. Haven't called in a while, so you're there, right?
I'm here.
Hello?
Take a breath.
Good.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Your mind?
Well, besides being a little bit older today, so I should be a little bit wiser. I'm 52 today.
Happy birthday, Tanya. Happy birthday. I'd sing to you, but, you know, we'll just postpone that. Go ahead.
Okay, but I'll hold you to it at some point because I've heard your beautiful voice, and that would make me very happy.
Thank you.
At some point. But I do want to respond to, obviously, what you're talking about, too, and it's just my mind. I'm Colorado. We're not in Colorado anymore, which is where I came to know you. We actually moved to Missouri we've been trying to get further and further away from the insanity and the hypocrisy, which you said you need a new word. I started using con artist because that's what it is. There's it's amazing. This is why I walked away as well. I think I finally realized I was being conned for most of my life, bought into it, but it's so apparent. And they're all about misdirect. They want to point to slavery that has gone away so long ago. It's unbelievable. While today we still do have other slavery in other countries that is going on. And it's all about the misdirect. I mean, that's the exploitation of George Floyd's death, his murder, was horrific. And everybody who sees that is appalled.
Exactly, Tanya. Let me just say, there wasn't anybody who said, oh, yeah, we're really glad about this, right? But yet that was just used as an excuse. It seemed as if all these folks were lying in wait for just the perfect time to pounce. And I don't think it's about George Floyd at all. It never was. The media narrative is always about something else than what it's really about. Right?
Yes. It's all part of a conspiracy. And I know that's a dirty word, but conspiracy itself just means long-winded. This has been, you know, thought about for a long time, the breadth of it, the spiritals. And to not consider
they
were waiting.
I do think that there are an awful lot of like-minded people who are socialists and communists under that heading. I mean, we're hearing Maoists and we're hearing, you know, Marxists and all of that, who have a tendency to join together because they have a common enemy, but eventually they start fighting each other. So, and I agree with you. The whole idea that there is a conspiracy theory, a lot of the things that used to be conspiracy theories are now coming to pass, right? Yes.
Yes, we're witnessing an attempted coup, and it's really terrifying. Today's the first day I saw something on Yahoo's feed about what's going on in Seattle. You would think that they've been having that on there all this time, but no, it took several days for it to even pop up in the main part of the feed. There's not being covered what's going on, and it's very scary. So thank you for talking about Seattle.
Well, Tanya, let me ask you a kind of a personal question. So you moved to Missouri. What are you seeing in Missouri?
Well,
and I don't know where you are.
We are
in St. Louis.
Extremely rural. I'll leave it at that. So, not close to St. Louis at all. And basically, where I live, it's amazing. I live in a very small town now. As a former LA native, it's amazing to have my one main street through our little main town, and they've got flags out. They've got American flags hanging, and it's quiet on that end. But I've never lived in a place that was pro-America like this. And as somebody who has refound my patriotism, I voted for President Trump, the first Republican I ever voted for, right after I voted for Bernie Sanders in the primary. But it feels good to be in a patriotic place. But I'll tell you this, to say that there are bad people everywhere. And we cannot stereotype by what color uniform they wear or the color of the skin. And it doesn't really matter. My husband and I here the first day and then on another occasion, we had our rights violated by our local law enforcement. I'll say that. And it happened here in my home. They were in the wrong. We recorded it. We're lucky.
Well, there's bad people everywhere in every profession. But isn't it interesting that this radical left that's trying to impose socialism on all of us want us to tell the difference, want us to be discerning about the difference between protesters and rioters, but they don't want to tell the truth or tell the difference between one bad cop and cops all over this country, thousands of them that put their lives on the line to keep us safe and to uphold the law. These people don't hate cops and law enforcement. They hate that they're not the ones enforcing the law. Because now you've got laws in this ridiculous 6-block area of Seattle as well. So they're finding out that they need laws, they need guns, they need boundaries, all the things a country has to have, except they stole it. They're stealing it, and then they are bullying homeowners. Can you imagine living in a place like that, where suddenly people take over your neighborhood and tell you have to pay protection money? The reality is that I don't even remember what I was going to say. Why don't I give you the last word? Oh, I know. I got to say this, Tanya, and then I'll give you the last word on this. They want to do this to everywhere. They want to do this to the country. If you think this can't happen in your state, in any state, except where there are conservatives and decent law enforcement, then you're wrong. They are trying to push a war, a possible civil war. That's what they're trying to provoke here. Your final thoughts, Tanya, and thank you, by the way, so much for calling. I so appreciate your support and the fact that you participate the way that you do. God love you.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, God love you too, Karen. Thank you for being out there, for taking my call and talking to me. I know I get distracted when I talk, but
I'm not the only one. I've been distracted today too because I've had so much on my mind. So sure. Yeah, go ahead and make a last point.
Okay, we are at the brink of something horrific and terrifying, and we will never come back from it if we don't realize, if people do not wake up to what is really going on. America is the greatest country that has ever existed, the USA. And because everybody has an opportunity here, as long as everybody is a good person, and we will find bad people in everything.
Well, there's always bad people. Everyone. It's reality. Anyway, thank you so much for calling, and I couldn't have said it better myself. You take care, have lots of joy. And I'm glad to hear that you are doing well in a good area in Missouri, because there's good areas in states all over this country. In our last couple of minutes before, we don't have nearly enough time, but we have a wonderful guest, Derek Wilburn, who's going to join us after the commercial break. I had about 5 different ways that I could go with this today. And a show that I did yesterday, I was fortunate enough to interview Kurt Schlichter, one of the all-time great writers who never pulls his punches. And he wrote a piece in Town Hall called More Than Ever, It's Time to Unleash the Power of No. And rather than to talk about the evil of the bad guys, the guys that want to control you, put a boot on your neck, and I mean that in much the same way as was done to George Floyd, but the selective anger of these folks who use that as an excuse. They certainly don't mind when blacks get killed in Chicago by the dozens every weekend. That doesn't seem to matter. They just ignore it. So what worries me most, perhaps there's so many things that are worrisome today, but we have to stay level-headed. And as my dear husband says, keep the rubber side down, keep our level head, is that people are rolling over for this. They're bowing down. They're kneeling before Zod, as we put last week, kneeling before the bad guys, but before the dictator. This is preposterous and nonsensical. Kurt Schlichter wrote this piece, and he actually gives five things that we can do. They seem platitudinous, if you will, but they're really, really not. They're very important. I'm going to read them to you right now. We have 2 minutes, and I'm going to read them. Never apologize. You have nothing to be ashamed of, and even if you did, apologizing to these creeps only chums the water for the feeding frenzy. Read this article. It's great. Number two, reject the demands. Tell them no. 3, speak truths they want suppressed. As soon as they don't want you to say it, say it. 4, laugh at them. You know, the mockery is important. And lastly, he says, buy guns and ammunition, 80% increase in that around the country. So people are buying guns and ammunition. I don't know how well they're, I don't know how much they're laughing, but they are definitely buying guns and ammunition because there's only one reason they want to get rid of the cops, and that's to get to you and me. And that's what they're after here. When we come back, we're going to have our wonderful guest, Derek Wilburn. You'll hear more about him when we get back. Karen Cataline, your host on Spouting Off. Stay tuned. This is Karen Cataline. Are you unsure if your current Medicare plan is still the best one for you? The annual enrollment period is right around the corner. This is the best time of year to review your plan and learn what's new. Anita McAllister is a licensed agent who will guide you through the confusing Medicare maze. Since 2011, she has helped many individuals and couples obtain Medicare peace of mind. Call her today at 970-515-6882 to set up a no-obligation, no-cost appointment. That's 970-515-6882 for Anita McAllister.
Listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
And welcome back. Karen Cataline, and you're listening to Spouting Off. I am delighted to have with us a real go-getter. Derek Wilburn is the founder and executive director of the Rocky Mountain Black Conservatives, and the driving force behind POCC, which he's going to tell us about, POC Capital Interns. His organizations and personal mission are to bridge the gap that exists between conservative political causes, parties, candidates, office holders, and ethnic minorities in America. Gee, that's not relevant, is it? And he is published nationally on recurring pundit on various broadcast media outlets, including here on Spouting Off. Welcome to our show, Derek Wilburn.
Karen, pleasure is all mine. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, I love your energy and your passion. It's wonderful. Tell us right at the outset about POCC, what it is, what you're trying to accomplish, and the basics there.
The basics is simple. POC is people of color, POCC Capital Interns. So we take ethnic minority, predominantly African-American college students, predominantly from HBCUs, historically black colleges and universities, and we send them to live and work in Washington, D.C., in paid internships every year, working specifically for Republican legislators. So we're tearing down the wall. So these kids, these youngsters get exposed to the truth about who Republicans are, who conservatives are, what we believe, all that stuff, without the corrupting influence of a media establishment or the educational establishment that they're currently stuck in, and they get changed for life.
Yeah. And boy, you know, if that wasn't godly work, I don't know what is, because it seems as if everything the left, the really radical left, does today and has done, they blame on Republicans. Now, not that Republicans are perfect by any stretch, but the KKK, the racism, even things that have nothing to do with race, like Margaret Sanger, for example, the eugenicists, these were leftists. They weren't Republicans. And yet all they ever do is call Republicans, free market people, racists. Let's just jump right in, Derek. Boy, are
they great
at it.
They're great at it. So they point their finger at the Republicans for their own failures and their own failed policies. But what's happening with the younger generation? So we're taking, you know, we're taking 19-year-olds and sending them to live and work with Republicans in Washington, D.C. And so their first real exposure to the conservative party, or what's supposed to be the conservative party, is this internship in most of their cases. So they are getting a burned-in picture that they will never forget, that they will never unremember. You know, we can never unremember the things that happened to us in our formative years, become a part of our permanent record, right? So my mom and dad can never unremember seeing signs above water fountains colored and white. They could never unremember seeing signs above bathrooms. They can never unremember being told, you can't get your food at this counter, boy. Walk around back and we'll hand it to you out the window. They can never unremember those things. These young people we send to live and work with Republicans today can never unremember this experience. And one day, these 19-year-olds will be 59-year-olds, and we've changed them forever.
It's so great. And you know, the left knows that. That's why they try to get kids as young as possible. I don't know who it was who said, give me a child, you know, in his formative years, and he's mine for life. And so you have to get him young. Derek, let's talk philosophy here. I mean, obviously, one of the reasons that I brought you, I was interested in having you, and you're just a wealth of information, is before the George Floyd incident was used to not only riot, but then to take over a 6-block area in Seattle. Because, boy, you know, the news cycle goes quickly these days. Let's talk about the charge of systemic racism. Why don't you tell us what you think of that, and what is it even, systemic racism? What is that, and is it true?
When you can tell me what it is, then we'll both know. So that's one of the problems. I get into this online all the time, as you've seen. I ask people all the time who level the charge of systemic racism, what is that? Define that. Tell me exactly what that is, where it exists, and that's the only way we can single it out and work on getting rid of it. And, of course, nobody can. So to the extent that systemic racism exists at the governmental level, now, is there systemic racism at the personal level? Sure, there is. There's all kinds of racists running around.
Wait a minute. Frankly, so what's systemic? Let me slow you down a minute. You said, is there systemic racism at the personal level? But what is systemic racism if you're saying there is at the personal level?
I misspoke. At the personal level, it couldn't be systemic. I completely agree with you. I got on a roll.
Are there individual racists?
Cups of coffee and I got rolling.
Yes. There are racists in the country. Absolutely.
There are. Karen? I don't care. You see, racism doesn't affect me. I am a black American descendant of slaves. Racism doesn't affect me. So if you are a racist, and you're not, but if you are, that affects you, not me. That's a poison on your soul. That's a cancer that's eating you away from the inside. But as long as you don't do anything to harm me, my family, loved ones, or property, be a racist. You know, what do I care? So exactly. I don't even play that game with people because racism really doesn't affect me. I can go anywhere in this country. I can order the same thing you can order. I can use the same water fountain you use. Those things are nothing but a smokescreen, in my opinion. But if we're talking about systemic racism, to get back to your question.
Yes.
Systemic racism once did exist at the government level federally, right? So slavery was the legal law of the land once upon a time. We got rid of it. It used to be that there were all sorts of systemic racist institutions at the governmental level federally. We've squeezed those all out. Bank of America cannot give you a loan that it won't give me if we have equal qualifications, so on and so forth. The only place where systemic racism does still rear its head in our country are places like Minneapolis, Baltimore, Ferguson, Detroit, Chicago. We see it happening there, then it results in riots, but who runs the show in those cities?
Democrats.
That's where your systemic racism is.
Always Democrats, right.
Right there. When you have a group of people in government or an individual in government, but especially if it's a group of people, and they construct these giant concrete cities called public housing projects and say to the blacks in that city, you all can live over there. Mm-hmm. That is systemic racism.
That's segregation. And
that's segregation.
It's been said that the government is acting like a plantation owner. And I think people are starting to figure it out, which is why, by last I heard, 40% of blacks like Donald Trump. I think that is the greatest blessing. It's part of the reason why the Democrats are losing their minds, isn't it?
That's a part of the they see it slipping away. So depending on whose numbers you believe, Trump's favorability rating with black males is as high as 71%. He doesn't do as well with females, but black males, because we get our choice of jobs. You know, under the Trump policy, and of course this is pre-COVID-19, you got to take that off the table. But before that pandemic laid everybody off, jobs in the hood were plentiful. Guys were able to get money in their pocket, buy cars, buy motorcycles. It was working. So the Democrats see that their iron-fisted grip on the black community was slipping away because of Trump. And, of course, they hate it. So they have to attack every chance they get rather than offer their own set of solutions. Because the set of solutions they've been offering for 60 years. And how is that working for us?
It's so important. Derek, what do you make of this new phenomena, which strikes me as payback? It's like reverse racism, but we're not allowed to say it, that people, even, I don't know if it was even a white person, I guess it wasn't. Did you see the video where they asked a woman to kneel before him? A woman is being asked to kneel before a man because of her white privilege? I mean, this is bigotry. If your whole persona is nothing more than how you were born. And that's, you know, they are using racism, claiming that they're fighting racism. So what do you make of that phenomenon? We haven't ever seen that before. Heck, we saw a whole bunch of old Democrats wearing phony fashion statement African scarves and getting down on their knees. Like, what's that about, huh?
The great Thomas Sowell, one of the greatest thinkers of our generation, of any generation.
Isn't he, though? He is.
Just brilliant. See, you go back and listen to radio interviews with this man, and you just your jaw hits the ground. It's like he's a walking encyclopedia. He has a quote that I've modified a little bit, but essentially it says, racism in America was dying. It is dying, but is being kept on life support by the left, who refuses to let it go away. And that's entirely true. So are we better off as a nation? Are we moving in the right direction as a nation when we have white people begging forgiveness for the sins of our country 300 years ago? First of all, can you even repent of something that somebody else did? Second of all,
not
can
if
I
you're
forgive
saying,
you
no.
of something you didn't do?
That's right. Well, you know, if you're
so
Jewish, that's one of the same things.
They insist on picking at the scab, and therefore they're keeping the wound from healing.
We have to take responsibility for our own behavior, not that of others. But think about it. It is all based in collectivism. I mean, if they can take away your personality, your individualism, your very soul by giving you back nothing more than a black identity or a white identity or a Jewish identity or whatever, then they've won. That's socialism right there, isn't it?
You're right. Well, that's a form of it. And of course, they want to push that into the financial realm. And then we're talking about reparations and making sure that everybody gets college for free and all this other stuff that we can't afford. And it's all a pipe dream, especially reparations. We can get into that if you want to. That's the biggest farce in America today. But as long as it works and as long as it wins votes, they'll keep trot that stuff out.
Yeah. It's heartbreaking, and I didn't want to step on what you said about Thomas Sowell, because the picking at that scab, I mean, I think that most conservatives, when they saw Barack Obama elected to president, they were terrified, and it had absolutely nothing to do with his color. It had to do with his ideology. It was quite clear that he was had a thin veil of mainstreamness with an America-hating socialist agenda. And what happened almost the moment he was elected, we had that beer summit, and we had cops are bad and blacks are oppressed and all of that. So yes, that's all they seem to do. Because why? Because that's power. One more comment and then we got to take a break, Derek. I'm so delighted that you could stay with us through a break.
Happy to.
Yeah. So I didn't really ask you a question there. My goodness, there's so much to cover right now. And it's one of the things I think we'll talk about when we get back, and I'll give you time after the break to answer, is that it's as if white people are now so sheepish and so apologetic that they want black people to stand up and speak their truth. Wait a minute. This is racist. This is not only reversed racist, but it's the same old hatred, just like the same old hatred for cops. That's cop bigotry, right? If you're a cop, then you're immediately subject to hatred. If you're Christian, if you're male, it's all the same attacks. We're going to take a break right now with Derek Wilburn, and we'll ask him that to comment about that when we get back. I'm your host, Karen Cataline, and this is Spouting Off. This is Karen Cataline, host and producer of Spouting Off. Got an opinion, a guest suggestion, or a show tip? Follow me on Facebook or Twitter and let me know your thoughts. All you need is to know how to spell my name. It's the same on Twitter, Facebook, and www.karencataline.com. Karen is spelled the normal way, no goofy Y's or Q's, K-A-R-E-N. And Cataline is spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. Want more Spouting Off? You can find the complete archive of Spouting Off shows at www.karencataline.com. All my op-eds and blog posts are there too. That's www.karencataline.com. Thanks for listening. And if you have a moment, please spread the word about Spouting Off. Our final segment here of the show, and with Derek Wilburn, founder and executive director of Rocky Mountain Black Conservatives, and he also is the driving force behind people of color capital interns. And if you heard about that just a little bit, if you'd like to donate to people of color capital interns so they get to work with Republicans and find out what conservatism is all about, where can they go to learn more about this, Derek Wilburn?
www.poccinterns.com. POCCinterns.com. We take Black American college students from all over the country. We've had them from Arizona, from all, literally from coast to coast, and send them to intern for a summer in Washington, D.C. We pay their airfare, their transportation to and from. We pay for their lodging, and the internship itself is paid. So they
That's great.
A first-class experience, but it isn't cheap. So if anybody wants to help, please do.
Well, in light of what's going on and in general, I can't think of a long-term contribution. Are you a 501c3?
We are a 501c3. All contributions are 100% tax deductible.
Yay, team. We like that. So here's where I am thinking. Yeah, I mean, you can comment on Obama. And during the break, you were telling me that there were 12 riots during Obama's 8 years, and nobody said a word about that. And you're right. And of course, Obamagate is coming to light now, and his corruption has nothing to do with his color. It has to do with his ideology. Here's the question, Derek, and I want you to wax philosophic about this because you've been in this game for a while, and it's really important to think about this. What's the most effective weapon that you found to get people out of this cult? This cult of liberalism, this cult of victimhood, and to get what is it that gets people out of the condescension business or accepting and buying into that condescension business? Because basically, one more sentence here, I said it to, God, I had Jesse Lee Peterson, wonderful guest, and you too, about this very issue. And I said the way the left has treated the Black community, they're the canaries in the mine shaft this time around because they want to do that to all of us, to make us dependent on government, to do to the entire country what they've been doing to the Black community, to destroy the family and all of those things. So what is it? It's a cult of government as God. So what is it that you found that really gets people to ask that first question? This is wrong. We are getting played.
We have to avoid getting into the emotional realm. So leftism is all emotion. I mean, if you look at their movement and the way they communicate and how, look at what's going on in the country the last 10 days. It's all emotion. It's all anger. It's all hate. It's all, I want that statue out of here. It's all emotion. And you cannot argue people over to your point of view on the basis of what they're emotional about. So we combat that in our organization with a formula that I call for reals. Facts, reason, evidence, logic, statistics. I never get emotional with people in person or on the web. I stick with for reals. Facts, reason, evidence, logic, statistics. The facts are, so the election of Barack Obama was very important to the Black community. And you cannot underestimate that, and I think a lot of conservatives make this mistake. It was extremely symbolically important. But the truth is, the facts are, at the end of his 8 years in office, we were down in every single federally measured economic statistical category. All of them. Unemployment, workforce participation, household income, household indebtedness, you name it. We were down in all the ones we want up. We were up in all the ones we want down. His presidency was not good for Blacks, and that's just a matter of fact. But because you like him doesn't change the fact that when he left office, there were more Blacks on welfare than at any point in the history of this country.
Those are powerful, powerful statistics. And yet, if you're so emotional, you can't hear them. You can't even, it's absolutely correct. Now, is there an emotional argument that conservatives can make? Because we're terrible at that.
There is.
What could it be?
The emotion.
Yeah, what is it?
There is the deconstruction of the family, which you've already talked about, is the single biggest detractor to any people, let alone Blacks or anyone else. So
yes.
Emotionally, we want the next generation to have it better than we did. That's the way it's always been in America. That's the American dream. There are no statistical models that do not support the truth that the best environment for a child to be raised in is in a two-parent household where the mother and father stayed together until that child reaches adulthood, period. It's not even arguable. It's not even close. We should be furious. We Black Americans should be pissed off with the Democrat Party for what they did to our people in the 1950s and 60s and 70s, driving the men from the household and leaving our women to raise children alone to the point where now 72% of Black babies are born to a single mother. That is an atrocity that we should be furious about. We should be emotionally charged about that more than a guy getting beat down and killed by the cops, as horrible as that is.
And look, the numbers have grown in every other community as well. So other communities have followed suit because the left has done so. I mean, when you look at it, it's devastating to look at because they are engaged. They have been engaged for decades in dismantling everything that has made this country great. No wonder they're so threatened by Donald Trump, who uses the slogan "Make America Great Again," because all the things that made America great, free markets, freedom, limited government, strong families, God instead of government, resourcefulness, individual freedom and personal responsibility, those things, those are the things that are the biggest targets of the left. It's not an accident. Any overriding thoughts on what you're watching today? I mean, do you see that, or are you looking at it a different way?
No, they're against all those things. And as evidence of that, how many statements have we heard in the last handful of days from prominent Democrat leaders in the country condemning the violence, looting, arson, and all the things that we've seen in our defacing of property? How many Nancy Pelosi's, Chuck Schumer's, AOC's, the people who have a national audience, how many of them have stepped up to a microphone in front of a camera and said, look, this has to stop. What you're doing is wrong. You're doing more you're doing far more harm than good. Please get off the streets, go home, stay safe, be safe, and let's begin working on building our cities and rebuilding our cities together. I haven't heard that once because they don't
want
that.
You know what is exactly the most scary thing of all is that they're inciting the exact opposite. They're cheering criminals, and they're trying to handcuff law-abiding citizens of all colors, law-abiding citizens. My goodness. I mean, did you ever think?
Not just law-abiding citizens, but also law enforcement. We had a press conference yesterday by Ilhan Omar. I mean, she's not hiding it. She wants police gone. There will be no one who suffers more in this country than Black neighborhoods from coast to coast if we end policing as we know it today.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. We have to wrap up the show here. So tell everybody one more time how they can donate to your group, POC, People of Color. And I don't have it in front of me. Give us the
Capital
website
Interns.
Again. And Capital Interns, POCC.
That's it. POCC Interns. .com, POCCinterns.com.
Right.
Go there. Even if you're not able to make a contribution, go surf around, take a look, see what we're up to. If you are, click that donate button, click it hard. If anyone wants to just learn more about me and my punditry work, you can just do a word search, a query in any search engine, and find me on Town Hall, CNS News, the usual suspects.
Well, your passion and your vibrant voice is always welcome here on Spouting Off and all the other shows I do. Thanks so much for joining us, Derek Wilburn. And Godspeed. We hope your program just explodes.
My pleasure. You know, if you ask, I'll come. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too. Doug says it will. That's what he's letting me know, that my producer says that program will explode. And we most certainly hope so. I just wanted to leave a last minute or two to, if I had any influence at all, I would want to give people the courage and the strength to keep on fighting for this country. I know things look grim right now, but we must stand up. Thank God people who listen to this program and talk radio and conservative pundits around the country are listening because they want to stand up. And there is a drastic difference between the way conservatives have handled the threats to their neighborhoods and their cities, as in northern Colorado, versus what has happened in Minneapolis and the larger cities that are run by Democrats. So it matters who you're governed by these days. We have a long summer ahead. We'll be here to take you through it all. Please support Spouting Off and go to www.karencataline.com. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Doug, my producer, and to BBS Radio. Thanks to HW, the multi-talented guy with an IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in next week when there will be a lot more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.